In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today Jesus draws a line in the sand, as he does many times, and he expects his followers to do the same. This line is between life and death. It's between the righteous and the wicked, sheep and goats. And that line is this: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now that they were disciples and he was their master, Jesus wanted them to understand that throughout their lives, they were going to have to be making crucial choices. And these choices affected eternity for them. So no pressure then, right? Now this is not about justification. This is not about the Father counting us as righteous on account of the work of Jesus. We all know that in and of ourselves, we cannot make ourselves good enough. But I want each one of you to hear this as if Jesus is speaking directly to you. Because he is. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is about our life after we are joined to Jesus. This is life after baptism. And it's a life that we can reject by our actions. God's gift of grace is free only in the sense that it cannot be earned. It's not free in the sense that it sort of excuses us from a rigorous moral effort and a striving after the light while shunning darkness. Striving and a robust sense of obligation and duty pertain to the gospel every bit as much as they did to the law. Now, to see how you're doing with this, all you've got to do is ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, if someone were to follow me around all day today, would they be able to look at me and tell who my master is? Would they be able to look at me and see who I'm obligated to? Men and women under grace have no fewer responsibilities than men and women under the law. In fact, I would make the argument that they even have more. The life of one of Jesus' followers is one of constant battle, both physical and spiritual. And there are many today, Christian even, who don't even believe that there is a spiritual realm of creation. The commandments come to us as the word of the Lord to build us up and prepare us for battle, and to shake us out of this daze that we get ourselves into sometimes. For Lutherans especially, it's easy to just go to worship and sort of mindlessly go through the holy motions of the divine service, or if you're praying the offices at home, just to kind of mindlessly go through those and mouth the words while our minds, our hearts are somewhere else. And then the law of God strikes us like lightning. Because what's the third commandment? You shall observe the Sabbath and set it aside as holy. This means that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise the preaching of his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear it even, says the catechism. Gladly hear it. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I've been sitting there listening to a sermon and my mind is wandering away right in the middle of the apostolic preaching of the Holy Gospel. I can't tell you that because those times have been countless. Does that excuse me from the law? Absolutely not. In fact, the law brings me to my knees and shows me just how much I need the grace of God, how much I need to be forgiven. When Christ is coming to me in the preaching of the gospel, and I turn my attention elsewhere, the law tells me, shows me, points at me, and says, you need this forgiveness. So this pressure that we might feel, the pricking of our conscience even, is what the scripture calls the law of God. those teachings of Jesus in the New Testament, as well as the commandments and the moral code in the Old. The law is the staff that our shepherd Jesus wields to guide his flock away from rocky, barren fields, away from sheer drop-off cliffs of impending death, and into the lush green pastures of the gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. To abide in the sheepfold of the church, then, is to abide in love, to act according to love. And so Jesus says, if we love him, then the manifestation of that love will be obedience. Greater and greater obedience to the teachings of our Master, getting better, growing holier and nearer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus throughout our lives. There are many who are former members of the body of Christ, all because they've forgotten what obedience looks like. They'd rather be a law unto themselves. They have cast themselves then out into the darkness. Chaff among wheat, appearing, seeming to be followers of Jesus, and probably thinking that they are, but they refuse to know the Lord and his word. Love strives to keep every command our Lord gives, because it clings to the one who gives them. Love runs to the altar of God, frustrated that there's people in between the altar and themselves, to receive again the Lord of life, who says, whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Love runs to and clings to the Lord of life. In the end, you and I are going to be one of two things: a winner or a loser, a sheep or a goat, heaven or hell. And you can't get away from that. There's no in between. That's the teaching of Jesus Christ, and it's the teaching of his Holy Church. But people don't like to hear that, do they? That's too severe, too clear cut for me. Well, you'd better believe it's as clear as night and day. Jesus made it that way because he's not some omnipotent jokester who wants to see us fail over and over again. He doesn't sit up in the sky and treat us like some kind of enormous cosmic science experiment. Jesus is our shepherd. He doesn't want you to drink from stagnant waters and poison yourself. He doesn't want you to fall victim to the wolves. He wants you to stand with him and live. And he knows that by our sinful, lawless actions, we can choose against him and all that he's done for us. And it's a consequence that will separate us from him forever. But people don't like to hear that. We don't like to say that there's universal good and evil. We like what's called subjective morality, that something is right or wrong depending upon the situation, the circumstances. It's right or wrong dependent upon the place and the time, or even the end result. That's a popular one, the ends justifying the means. Excuse me. But you know who else hates moral absolutes? The devil. He hates it when we say that anything is definitively good or definitively evil. He hates it especially when pastors preach moral absolutes, which is why I try to do it quite often. So, in this age of grace, there are no excuses. As our reading from Acts says in verse 30, the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Truth and lies, good and evil, life and death. We either love Christ by striving to obey what he commands, repenting to our Savior, who is gracious and merciful when we fall short or we do not. So we have choices in the Christian life. And ultimately these choices for or against love and obedience are choices for or against God. Well, if you're going to strive to keep the commandments, you've got to know what they are first, don't you? And I'll give you a test. And no pausing and going and looking it up either. Here it is. What's the fifth commandment? I won't hum the Jeopardy music. But if it hasn't come to your mind by now, you don't know it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus says. And yet we know very well just how weak our flesh is, how we can be stumbling, a clumsy mess, frail and worn thin by the constant temptation of Satan. The flesh has a disease of sorts, a leprosy, that causes weak spots, chinks in the armor. And so the soul must always be on guard against those weak spots, because your enemy knows your weak spots even better than you do. St. Peter says to the Christian church in chapter 2, and it's right before our reading today, "Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul." So the Christian life is war. Those who fail to see that fact most likely end up losing that war. But we've been given everything that we need. God lavishly provides for us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, he says, inside of us. God has given us his own name in holy baptism. He has covered us with the purity and righteousness of his Son. When we find ourselves worn thin, when we do not love him by keeping his commandments, he has given us a means to always, always return to him. Our consciences don't need to be terrified all the time, always wondering whether or not God is going to forgive me or not. This means of return is the crowning jewel of Christ's new creation. So powerful a diadem is it that when demons confront it, they cower in fear. Because it has the command and authority of Jesus Christ himself. It is the most tenacious weapon the Christian has, because it returns us again and again to the purity of our baptism. Just think of a soldier in a war getting shot over and over again and dying and rising over and over and over again. That is what confession and absolution does. Gives us even the same purity and righteousness of Jesus himself. This weapon that the Lord gives, my brothers and sisters, is repentance. No matter what we've done, you can always come to the Lord in confession, and in his mercy he will absolve you. You may think that your sin is too dark, too deep to be forgiven. Odds are someone listening to this right now feels exactly that way. But there is no darkness of yours that the light of Jesus Christ will not dispel. He has come to do precisely that. In repentance, it's as if Jesus wraps his mighty arms around us and pulls us up to himself and says to Satan, "Get thee behind me. This lamb belongs to me. If you want him, you've got to come and take him from me." In repentance, Jesus himself is our weapon. Jesus himself is our fortress and our medicine. Many things today bid us direct our attention away from Jesus, away from his commandments. May these words of our Lord burn deeply within you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But even brighter than this, may the love of Jesus radiate out from you, drawing the lost of this world into a relationship with the shepherd who loves you and them. And when we fail, and we will, know and never doubt that the Lord has given himself to you always through the enduring gift of repentance. In the name of Jesus, amen.